Welcome to the Roundtable Podcast, a ministry of Westside Church that seeks to help those who have questions of Jesus, His church, and the call to follow Him.
Hey, I want to welcome everybody to this episode of the Roundtable Podcast. My name is Norm Funk. I'm the lead pastor of Westside Church, and joining me around the table, two of my favorite guys in the whole wide world, James Bonney, who is over on the North Shore. He's the campus pastor over on the North Shore, elder at Westside, and Mr. Contrarian, Matt Menzel, who is an elder and pastor of Westside, gives himself to a variety of ministries, teaching classes.
That's plural. That's the plural for
classes.
Guys, how are you? Good to see you.
Good.
You're well and good.
God Matt, alone is good.
Matt alone. Matt doesn't want me to ask him.
No, I have something.
How is
it? It's new. Matt, I thought about it in the last 5 seconds.
Okay, tell us what's new.
Well, I was just downstairs. We're doing the reno here, and it was the most exciting thing that happened to me today.
Yeah.
And one of our construction workers had me call the ambulance for him. Well, actually, Alana called the ambulance for him, but I had her call the ambulance for him. He had a huge gash out of his arm, which was disgusting. The vein was popping out.
And, oh no, don't do that. People are going to stop listening. Well, you don't have to go into...
Hey, that's all. That's the most exciting thing that happened today.
Good. That is exciting.
Ben's getting a kick out of that.
Ben is about 600 feet away, and I can hear him over there groaning. But Ben was in construction.
He gets it.
Ben understands.
He gets it.
Don't ask him questions. Well, he's not mic'd up, hey?
All right.
It's not good pod. You know, if you do that. James Bonney, how are you?
Yes, good.
What's latest with you? In all seriousness, why don't you give us a little snapshot update of Easter and all that kind of stuff? Because people want to know about the North Shore, man.
No, Easter was awesome. We had our biggest gathering we've ever had. Lots and lots of visitors. It was just a fantastic morning. Had close to 250 with kids, and
dude, that's awesome.
Huge vibe, baptism. Mm-hmm. Just seeing a lot of friends, family come. It was great. It was a great gathering.
Park in Tilford. Anything latest with that people should be knowing about? That they should know about in regards?
Well, there is great rumor, probably true rumor, that we will be looking for a new gathering space.
Mm-hmm. What are they doing with the theater? I don't know what they're going to do with it.
They're building a new Cineplex at Park Royal, and so by the grace of God, we do have
potential
to go there
and
be truly North Shore Central.
Right,
which I'm excited about. Our people are excited about, but we're really praying. Our leaders are praying. We also love the bottom of Lonsdale. We want to be where in the heart of North Van. So, join us in that prayer.
Yeah, that's something that we'll be looking at down the line and seeking God's face on. And it's a big deal. I mean, you know, location is not everything, but it is something. And ease and access and, you know, a prominent place is, it's an important part. Sometimes you don't have those choices early on, but if you do come to a place where you at least have some stability and you have people coming in from a variety of places, then you have certain options. So we'll be praying about that. But man, really excited about what's going on the North Shore. And like you said, Easter was great. And Matt, maybe can I just put it on you to give us a little update and snapshot of our Easter gathering and Good Friday? You spoke on Good Friday here, did a great job.
Yeah.
But Easter weekend, give us a little bit of an update.
Yeah, no, it was a great weekend. It was a lot of new people like you do on Easter, and it was a lot of fun. It was powerful. The baptisms were awesome. Just heard great things. A lot of conversations over the last couple weeks from people. People not yet Christians, people brand new Christians, people who've just been impacted by the baptisms or have been baptized, and just seeing just a lot of really good spiritual fruit. Just really seeing there's a lot of that on a regular basis. I was saying to the staff today in our staff meeting too. It just seems like this season is kind of snowballing spiritually, where it's just like there's just momentum around. And it's only God's Spirit can do it. We know that, and it feels like He's really working powerfully. And I'm just chalking that up to just consistent prayer. I know this body prays. I know the leadership, we're always praying, and I just, we just need more of that, more prayer. But Easter was great. It was a highlight. 16 baptisms down at the ocean, which was awesome, and right. lots of great stuff. So yeah, it was exciting.
Yeah, and one of the things that I always get jacked up about on Easter, especially the last couple, is knowing that Reality Vancouver is baptizing, Christ City is baptizing. Yeah. Those are two of our plants, then the North Shore campus, our campus. So really on that Sunday, you've got four different locations in the Pacific Ocean, from Kitts all the way to the North Shore, that are baptizing in that same ocean. I just love that picture as I sort of imagine it. It'd be great to get a helicopter and do a flyover all at the same time. Mm-hmm. Maybe we got to do that with Josh Knepper and Ryan one of these years.
Just rent their helicopter.
We should rent their helicopter.
Yeah.
We should do that. Before I get into our recent series, our most recent series, the series that we just started on Sunday, Piper's coming. Look at the book conference is coming. I didn't talk to you guys about this before. We're excited about it. Maybe for those that are listening, what is it? One of you guys want to take a stab? What is Piper doing now? I should call him, I guess, Dr. Piper.
Yeah, that's probably
Pastor John.
Yeah.
What can they expect when they show up? What is this all about? For those that are maybe listening and thinking about coming, have not yet signed up, which you need to do because it's almost sold out. Mm-hmm. What is it? One of you guys want to give a little rundown on it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, as a lot of people know, but maybe not everybody listening to this, but John Piper was the pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis for a long, long time. And he's stepped away from that now. He's still there and involved, but he's no longer the primary preaching, teaching pastor there. And so he's pouring his energy into more speaking, conferences around all over the place. And one of the things that Desiring God Ministries, which is the ministry that he's at the leadership of, is really focusing on is this look at the book. It's this they've themed all this, all kinds of content that you can find on their website, and it's called Look at the Book. And essentially it's amazing. It's you know, you'll go on the website and you'll see Dr. Piper, John Piper, and I don't know what to call him now. But he'll just essentially, there'll be a passage come up on the screen and he just works through it. You know, you watch him write on the passage and he just dissects and exegetes a passage and shows you how to study the scripture and apply the scripture to your life. And so it's awesome content and the kind of stuff that just every Christian just needs to grow in.
Yeah.
And so he's coming here specifically to do that. It's a Desiring God conference.
You're always squeaking the table, James.
I've got a lot of weight. I've been working out.
Well, yeah, you need to more cardio.
Your hands are moving.
That's all I do is chest.
Squeaking the table.
So it's just,
sorry,
so
I apologize on behalf of James.
I'm mad
and squeaking the table.
He needs more cardio. I get it. So he's going to come here. It's going to be that. He's going to train us, teach us how to study and apply the Bible. And then he's preaching on the Sunday. Really excited about
so
all
excited.
Of it.
So excited. Yeah. And North Shore campus will be here too on
That's
Sunday.
Great.
So
bringing the two together.
Yeah.
And we're excited about it.
Marriage.
From the standpoint. That's
like
right. From the standpoint of being able to use this facility, this location, for something that extends beyond our walls. And we're excited about Paul Tripp coming to the marriage conference, doing the marriage conference for us June 5th and 6th, I believe, on the top of my head. One of the things that I'm really thankful for in dealing with Desiring God and also Paul Tripp's ministry is they make it very reasonable to bring them in.
Yeah.
I'm really thankful because way too many stories of conferences that cost way too much, speakers getting paid a ton of money, and really limiting what you can do, and just really, really thankful that these guys who have prominent positions in the in the church today are going, look, we're about equipping people. We're not about gouging people and getting rich by way of the gospel.
And they're big names, but we're not bringing them in for their celebrity. That's what I love is they're coming here because they, like you're saying, they have a lot to teach. They have a lot of wisdom and they're coming here. They're going to help us with that. So it's much more than just, these are well-known guys. These are guys who have a lot to say.
And I just love how Piper, he's not coming in to just show again.
I think
like,
he prefers Johnny Boy.
Johnny Boy.
Yeah.
Johnny Boy is not coming in to just show how great he can preach.
Yeah.
But he's just, like you said, he's going to show us how to study the Bible.
Yeah.
And it's stuff we need every day.
And we'll be doing a podcast, actually. The next podcast will be a one-on-one, me and
Johnny.
And Johnny boy.
Johnny and I.
Johnny and I will be sitting down doing a podcast that we'll upload for people to listen to. Mm-hmm. Just going to ask him a handful of questions and get his response to them. I could probably put together a couple sheets of questions. Don't have that kind of time, but I look forward to that, and I'm excited about doing that. So, hey, with the time that we have remaining, we've already taken up a good nut on the front end. We, as I said earlier, just started a new series on Sunday on the Book of James.
Yes.
The Book of James. James' namesake. Launched it. We'll be walking through the Book of James up until almost the end of July. So it'll go into summer, at least partway into summer. James, everyone loves James.
Yeah, they do.
It seems that...
just a great name, too.
It seems, yeah.
God just uses Jameses.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. James as a book, is one of those that, I mean, when I said that we were going to be doing a series on the Book of James, everybody's like, fantastic. I love James. Mm-hmm. I love James. And I actually found out in my own prep and study that, what's the name of the organization? Lifeway, I believe, did a study asking people what some of their favorite books were in the scriptures, and James always cracked the top 10 foremost. So everybody loves the Book of James, it seems. Now, I know that there are some that don't. We'll get to Martin Luther, and actually William Tyndale, too, in the publication of the first Bible, he put James last. He put it at the very end. It sort of made the top 66, but barely. So we'll get to that in regards to why people may have a difficulty with the Book of James, but maybe before we hit that, why do people love it? Why are people, especially those in the church, going, yes, we get to this book? You got an answer to that?
I think it's just...
What's the appeal?
Well, it's so practical. Like, I mean, I think we both said it on Sunday, out of the 108 verses, there are like between 53 to 59 imperatives. Here's how to do it. Here's how to live out your faith. Here's what it looks like. Practical stuff. If you lack wisdom, ask God. If you are sick, call on the elders. So there's just so much people can do and they want to do. So that also will get into the danger later. But I think it's finally tell me what to do. I want to walk in holiness. People love when the Spirit convicts them and it's clear. So James is practical, helpful. Mm-hmm. And I would say in so many areas of your life.
Mm-hmm. Right? What does that say? What does that say about preaching today? If we get to a book that is so utterly practical, what may that suggest about preaching today?
Oh, well, maybe, I mean, it's too theoretical often, you know, and I don't think that's always a bad thing. I think that there's really a place for, I mean, we always need application.
You are a contrarian.
Always. So. Yeah, well, not really.
What?
You know, not depends how you define that term. You know, I'd really want to look at the no, but it, you know,
no, I, not really. No. You're
well,
not
really.
No, not really. Yeah.
I disagree with some of what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, no, I, you know,
that was perfect. Yeah, you're a contrarian. Good. No, not really.
Yeah.
No,
I did it on purpose, though. You realize that, right?
No, you were. You're not that quick.
You're not that witty.
No, I am.
Yeah, you're pretty witty.
Okay, well, yeah, I am.
Okay, go.
So,
preaching.
So I think you know a lot of our preaching. Whenever you're preaching the gospel, it needs to have application. But oftentimes the gospel can seem. Well, not the gospel, but preaching can come off as theoretical, as we're just talking about ideas, and we struggle to kind of know what to do with them. I think James, you know, it comes off like wisdom literature. It is wisdom literature in a sense, and like Old Testament wisdom literature, like for example, the book of Proverbs. I find people often think Proverbs and James, they kind of go hand in hand a lot of times because on the surface, it comes off as really almost easy reading. You know,
right.
Like you read through it and you get it. It just feels like I understand this. I get it. I can put this into practice. But that's on the surface, which I think we'll get into, right? Like there's a lot going on in James. James is a very hard-hitting book, but I think it comes off sometimes as easy reading.
I saw a quote. Sorry, James.
No, go ahead.
I saw a quote where I think it was Chuck Swindoll who said James is Proverbs in New Testament clothing.
Yeah.
And there is that aspect.
Yeah.
And that's why... And yeah, people love Proverbs.
Yeah.
I mean, there are people that center their whole life around the Proverbs. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll read a proverb a day. There's 31. It's perfect, you know, for most months and things like that. But I cut you off, James. What were you going to say?
Well, I was just going to say, too, I think, you know, even the way God's wired us, you just see, you know, even in when you're parenting with kids, you can see kids need rules, kids need law, right? When God brings his people out of Egypt, chooses them, saves them. So the gospel, then he aligns them up to the commandments. Here's what you need to flourish. Here's what you need for life. Here's what you need to love me. And so I think we love it, right? It's like a kid needs rules. They need ways. They need pathways to get more of God, see more of God. And hopefully that is, you know, I was reading in Deuteronomy today, and he just said...
You're reading where?
Deuteronomy 5.
Oh.
Yeah.
I misheard you.
What did you think I said?
I don't know. It sounded like you put two M's in there.
Okay.
Deuteronomy?
Yeah, it sounded like...
Deuteronomy? What Bible are you reading? Well, I mean, it was just in Deuteronomy 5 where he brings out the Ten Commandments, and then they respond, Israel, and they say, oh, that we're going to keep these. And he said, oh, that you would just see how much life I have for you in these commandments. And I think that's James, right? So
I think there's also an aspect of James that people like because of texts wrapped up in places like chapter 2 where it's the, hey, don't show favoritism. You know, don't show favoritism to the rich. I think in our culture, we like that. It's sort of like, you know, sort of, let's make sure the lesser man, you know, gets theirs. Yeah, don't give your seats here. Everybody's equal. I think there's those kinds of instructions, too, that really, I think for the average person coming off the street to go, yeah, that to me is Christianity. That to me is Christianity is... James 1, 26 and 27. Right. Let's take care of the orphan. Let's take care of the widow. So there is that aspect in that that stream within the church, better way of putting it and saying, yeah, that's what I think Christianity is. And James wouldn't disagree, as we'll get to when we get into chapter 1 and then chapter 2. This is what it does look like. You follow Jesus, this is what it looks like. But I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me flip the question and ask, what is the issue of James that some have? Why do some, like... We talked about Martin Luther, William Tyndale, and others over the years that go, you know, as we know, Martin Luther called it an epistle of straw, which I think, coming out of 1 Corinthians 3, it's even though he thought it was the word of God, there also is an aspect going, you know, if you read 1 Corinthians 3, did he think it was going to get burnt up in the end? He had an issue with it, didn't talk about Jesus enough, wasn't apostolic, James wasn't an apostle, seemed to, and this will lead into the question, seemed to be more works than gospel-based. So let me ask the question, what is the issue? I've already summed it up somewhat, but maybe go with it a little bit
deeper. I think as soon as you have... A book like this with so much commands, it smells, or people are afraid of legalism, right? They smell Pharisee, they smell, I have to obey for God to like me. And so I think as soon as you have commands like that, it's a kind of like a light into darkness, and we hate the darkness. There's some Christians when you talk about holiness and you bring up commands and you maybe even take the tongue example, call someone out on their language. What are you, legalists? Like,
right.
I mean, you were even saying about podcasts where they were just talking about how to cuss it up as Christians. So,
because that's freedom in Christ.
Right, it's freedom.
Swearing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true freedom.
You know,
I hope people listening at home know I'm being facetious.
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Don't tweet
podcasts.
That. Yeah.
But, you know, and Luther, I mean, that's what he railed against, right, was legalism. I mean, just at every turn. That's why he offended so many people. I mean, if you read some of what Luther said and what somebody wrote, I mean, he was pretty crude at times and pretty off color because he's battling against this whole idea of legalism. But I think, you know, the book of James can at times, because, you know, the gospel isn't proclaimed explicitly, right, in the book. And so, you know, it can seem devoid of justification by faith, and instead, like, it's preaching justification by works, that we're saved by what we do. Do these things, and you'll be saved. So I think that's a major problem people have with the book of James.
Yeah, Norm,
go ahead.
You nailed it with bringing up those on Sunday. You just nailed it with bringing up the gospel examples of, like, here's what faith looks like. It looks like this. So if you haven't listened to Norm's sermon. I think on that note.
Thanks,
well,
brother.
No, on that
you're
note, because
who, you're the
I
one
think
who downloads.
People, I download.
Thanks, brother.
I think people don't know what we mean sometimes when we talk about legalism or mm-hmm. justification. And I think your introduction to the series was just bang on.
Oh, thanks, brother. I appreciate that.
This is a nice moment. I'm glad
that
to be
was
part
good.
Of
We're hugging it out.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah.
Matt never says nice things
well,
about no, I, my
well,
about my
kind
speaking.
Of a
well, sometimes I do. Well,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think just to be, just backing up a little bit. See, I'm flummoxed
yeah.
because you were so kind to me there, and people so rarely are.
Oh boy.
Okay. My staff so rarely says
right.
anything.
You're gonna get
nice
a few emails this week.
Yeah, that's awesome. You can take the rest of the day off, man. That's
thank you.
Nice. Yeah. I think the idea of James being in conflict mm-hmm. or opposing Paul. Mm-hmm. Paul was very clear in his teaching in terms of how we are saved, right? By grace or grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We did a series on the book of Romans, and we hit that and hit that and hit that. We sing that. Tiffany mm-hmm. wrote a song that has that line in it. What song is that again? Is that Death is Dead, I think? So she think has so. That. We trumpet that. We have that tattooed on our... on our arms, you know, we believe that. And Paul said, look, in Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works. Why? So no one can boast. Mm-hmm. He says in Romans 6:23, you go through that Romans road journey, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. He also writes in Romans 4, verse 16, that is why it is righteousness, speaking of righteousness, why it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace mm-hmm. and be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So Paul was really, really clear. We are saved by faith mm-hmm. in response to the gracious gift of God in Christ Jesus. But let me ask you guys, was Paul anti-works?
No.
Was he anti-works?
No, not at all.
Give me some verses. Give me some reasons why. Were works important to him? What role did works play in our salvation story?
Well, at the very beginning, I mean, sometimes we read Ephesians 2:8 and it says, you know, for by grace you've been saved through faith. It's not your own doing. It's not of works, so no one can boast. But don't forget that even in the initial act of salvation, the New Testament is extremely clear, and Paul's very clear as well, that we come to Christ. We repent and believe. We confess our sins, we repent. That's a work. Like there's a work happening there. And in the same way that we're not supposed to, you know, put faith in our works, we're also not supposed to put our faith in our faith.
Right.
We're supposed to put our faith in
that's
our
good
God.
Right there.
Yeah.
I don't think I came up with that. I don't know where I
that's
got that
good.
From.
No,
own
tweet
it.
That, man.
But
that's really delicious.
We put our faith in God, right? But God has always, and it's a mystery how this works to us, mm-hmm. but he's in control. He knows the end from the beginning. Everything's mapped out in our lives. Essentially, at the same time, he uses our wills, our volitional wills, and our work, our working. So our work is in every way tied together with what God's doing in our life. We're not passive in this.
Right? Yeah. And I think Paul is just rich. I mean, you're just rich with like strive. And mm-hmm. if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, set your minds, mm-hmm. put to death. Mm-hmm. So he's basically saying in light of this, act in light of who you are, because that evidences itself in works.
Yeah, I always love Romans 8, what you're just saying there, and put to death the deeds of the flesh, but it's by the power of the Spirit, which is the whole point. And then Philippians 2, where we have Paul saying, you know, it's God who both wills and works in you for his good pleasure. Like, you know, the beginning, it starts out with work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So that's hard work. That's us working on our salvation, fear and trembling. Why? Because it's God who both wills and works in you for his good pleasure. It's God who gives us the desire to work, and then it's God who accomplishes the work. And because that's true, we are to work out our salvation with fear and trembling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and remember what Paul says in places like Titus 1:16, they profess to know God, but they deny him by their works, not by their mouth, not by their words. They deny him by their works. Their lifestyle just says, look, They don't believe in who they say they believe. Their works absolutely evidence that, which is the theme of James. Mm-hmm. That is the theme of James, that works evidence something that's taken place. Here's the important aspect. I mean, I think about Paul's testimony to King Agrippa. Mm-hmm. Therefore, and I'll read this from Acts 26, "Therefore, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but declared first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem and throughout all the region of Judea, and also to the Gentiles, so everywhere, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds in keeping with their repentance," mm-hmm. demonstrating, in other words, that they in fact have repented. And as I always say, whenever I teach Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, there is also verse 10, where Paul goes on to say, "For we are God's workmanship created mm-hmm. in Christ Jesus for good works, mm-hmm. which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So was Paul anti-works? He was anti-works in terms of meriting our salvation.
Right.
It was the work of Jesus. Absolutely. But he was not anti-works in the story of our salvation, meaning in an ongoing story of salvation as the sanctifying work mm-hmm. of salvation taking place mm-hmm. in our lives. For that's his argument about Abraham. I touched upon this on Sunday, about those faith journey steps of mm-hmm. Abraham, where he was called, had to respond by faith, but 13 years later, mm-hmm. in one example, he has another call to respond by faith. And both times, Paul says, in that moment, it was credited to him as righteousness. Mm-hmm. He demonstrated faith. He demonstrated faith in belief, and it was tangible. Here's the work. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get circumcised. I'm going to believe that I'm going to get pregnant with my wife. I'm making these steps. Mm-hmm. Faith leading to response, and it was credited to him. Go ahead.
I mean, Jesus, right? I mean, even I feel like Matthew 25 is like, to me, it's more hard-hitting than James. Like, if you got a problem with something, have a problem with Matthew 25.
Maybe let the listener,
Jesus talking about the coming kingdom, and right. he uses the illustration of the sheep and the goats being separated from each other when the Son of Man comes again, when Jesus returns and the judge is there. And the whole premise between the division between the sheep and the goats is what they did and didn't do, as, you know, Keith Green said, right? But it's this whole division is
good.
I pride myself on that.
Yeah,
you know, but it's you know, did they feed the poor? Did they visit people in prison? Did they clothe the naked? Like, all those, these are the things. Like, the judge comes and he divides people based on these actions, not based on Romans 10:9. Did you, you know, profess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead? But did you clothe the naked? Did you feed the hungry? Did you visit the sick? That to me is, you got to wrestle with this.
Yeah. And I would say too, like, that helps you define what we mean by works, because we would say that we're...
You're squeaking the table again.
I know. It's my muscles. It's salvation is like, salvation is ultimately a means to get us to God, mm-hmm. right? So works are an act of worship. Works are act of obedience out of a love and a worship of God. So salvation isn't just get out of jail free card. It's a complete transformation of who and what we worship. And so we work from a different place if you're working out of love for God. And so that's what James is saying.
And that's the context of the book of James. He's
right.
writing to these Jewish Christians, and he's exhorting them to live out the realities of their faith in the midst of trial. Right, like he's exhort, like the, and so that's why we struggle with it, because the faith is assumed, right? I mean,
yeah.
James clearly talks about, you know, is clearly coming out of the gospel, a gospel centered worldview here, and we know who James was. We see him as a pillar of the church. He was very much a gospel oriented, faith based person.
Well, that's verse 3 of chapter 1. Mm-hmm. It's the testing of your faith.
Exactly.
This is all a testing of your faith. So how you respond to the rich is a testing of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
How you use your tongue is a testing of your faith and an evidence of your faith. It should look different.
Mm-hmm.
How you deal with the orphan should look different.
Yeah.
But because time is running out, what's the danger of this book? There's the call that I think is absolutely, not I think, is absolutely supported by the theology of Paul,
mm-hmm.
by the teaching of Jesus. That was my whole point. in terms of my introduction, that you referenced, that beautiful introduction that I did on Sunday, that wondrous one that you really appreciate. I really appreciate, again, your compliment.
I'm glad to be here again with you guys.
But that was the thing about the teaching of Jesus. Look, go and sin no more. Jesus, how do I get to heaven? Well, you know the commands. Right, you know the commands. When Jesus saw their faith, you stop doing this or more trouble, worse than even your inability to walk will come upon you. All of those calls, but all in response to the work that I have come to bring fulfillment to and will accomplish. So it's not going against what Jesus taught. But there's the flip side. There's the flip side. There's the danger of this book because, well, let me stop. I don't want to ask and answer my own question. What is the danger of this book? In terms of people reading it and applying it, what's the mistake that can happen?
Well, I don't know if it's the danger or the danger that you're really looking at, but
there it is again.
I don't really know if there is a danger. I think the danger is we can take responsibility for our salvation on ourselves,
right,
and on our response. And you know, I think of 1 John all the time. You know, whoever says he has no sin is a liar, essentially, right? And so I think that the danger of this is you can feel like you're being held to this standard now, and if you don't keep this standard, you evidence you never had faith in the first place. And I think that kind of pressure can actually cripple people as well.
Right.
And secondarily, I mean, along with that, because this is a response to what God does, the thing I think that doesn't get enough play in the book of James, and we saw it last week, we're going to see it this week as well, is the heart of God to give to us. And I mean, in verse 17, the giver of perfect gifts, right? And just his heart to give generously to all without reproach. Like, that's the kind of God. So it's the Father heart of God that I think is one thing we can really miss too, is kind of a sub part of that.
I think
it's good.
I know you don't think it's a danger, maybe to the level that I do, but I think those things are a danger. Why would you say they're not a danger?
I was just trying to guard myself against it. Well, actually, the real danger is, and then you're going to...
Yeah.
There's a bigger danger.
I also, you know, as we know, in the church today, there are churches... I need to be very careful. I know I pop off, but I want to be very careful. I want people to hear me carefully in this. There are churches that do a great job taking care of the orphan and the widow. In this city, that are doing a better job than we are. I have no doubt about that. But I would say, in terms of the gospel message, have lost their way. So there is that danger too. There is the danger of taking texts like that and losing their way. There's also, I would say, and it's tied into this, the danger of not doing these things that we're called to out of love. It's the Church of Ephesus in Revelation 2, where you do these things, and they're commended by Jesus for doing them, but not motivated by love for Jesus, you know, motivated by love, you know, for people around them, or anger at the injustice that they see in the city, those types of things. It's the 1 Corinthians danger, right? For, excuse me, 1 Corinthians 13 danger, that even if I give myself up and have not love, I'm just a clanging gong. I'm worthless. So there's that danger of doing this and going, and really pointing fingers going, look, you guys don't do this. Right. You obviously don't love Jesus. Well, you could sit there and go, just because you do that doesn't mean you love Jesus either. So it's the dangers, I guess, I'm seeing on both sides of this. It's the motivation for it comes out of a love for Jesus, but this also can mask a true love for Jesus, even though you're doing these things.
Yeah, that was probably as good as your intro.
Oh,
that was really good.
Wow.
You know, I would add too, like the commands of God, that helps us understand the commands in James. Is God's heart in writing this for us is to love Him more and how to love others more. So if we can engage in these commands in that way, I think we'll see more. Like what we saw last week, maturity formed in us, holiness formed in us, and a genuine love for others. But Norm, I think that's a good word for those who are excited about James because they want to grow in holiness.
Yeah.
They need to remember it's not about your personal, just how holy you are, in a sense of self-righteousness, but love. So,
thank you, brothers. Any last comments before I wrap things up? Just looking at the clock, our time is pretty much done. Anything else?
No?
No, it's great.
All righty, then.
Excited for this series?
Mm-hmm. I am, too. I am very excited for this series. Well, if you're listening, thanks again for listening. I can't encourage you enough to come back and hear next time's podcast, which will be up in a couple of weeks. Again, as I say, every podcast, if you want to find out more information about Westside, wchurch.ca, then you can click on there to find out more information specifically about our North Shore campus and also our downtown campus and all of the different things that are going on, community group-wise, kids, youth, counseling, outdoors ministry. You can download previous podcasts there, messages there, and all that. So check that out when you got some time, and we'll talk to you soon. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode of the Roundtable Podcast. For more information about the ministry of Westside Church, go to wchurch.ca.